Start for the sake of time. I'll read it as we go through. You'll see the other side of the handout there is an outline that will be the direction in which we head in these few minutes together. Let me pray and then we'll start. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you're a speaking God, and we thank you that in the midst of a busy day with many distractions and pressures on our time, we can take these few moments to step back and to listen to you, the speaking God. So we pray, Father, that you would speak now and change our hearts as a result, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I'm guessing most of you by now will have seen Bradley Wiggins have ascended. He ascended the podium onto the top spot yesterday, took his gold medal, and we had the song that we hear in that situation. Send her victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us. God save our Queen. I'm hopeful that over the next week or so we'll hear that a bit more, but we'll see how it all unfolds. But this lunchtime, I want us to look at another song that was penned in honour of a monarch, in appreciation of a sovereign. It is a song for God the King, the universal sovereign of all, Psalm 107. And you see verse 1 right away, it is a song of thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. This theme of thankfulness is the central theme of this fifth book of the Psalter. The redeemed of the Lord, verse 2, that is God's people, are called to be thankful. Why? Because we're told God's enduring, his steadfast, his covenant love to his people. And this is drummed in, this thankfulness, this call to thankfulness is drummed in throughout. It's there in verse 8, again 15, 21 and 31. Do you see? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Thankfulness, the psalmist is telling us, is right. God's goodness and God's love demand that we are thankful people. God's people are to be thankful people. Well, that's okay, you say, but it's not easy for you to be thankful for whatever reason at this particular time. You're struggling with thankfulness. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe life is painful for you. Maybe your dreams haven't come true. Maybe your life has taken an unexpected twist and you're struggling and things are hard and difficult. You don't feel like being thankful. What have you got to be thankful for? Maybe you're grumpy for whatever reason. Your spouse isn't doing what they should. Your job isn't doing what you'd hoped. Your kids, your salary, your holidays or lack of them. The weather, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry. You're just a bit grumpy. You don't feel like being thankful for anything. What then? When God says you've got to be a thankful person, what do you do when you don't feel like it? Well, this psalm is calling us to lift our eyes, off ourselves and to recognize the love of God. And he gives us what we need in that sort of situation. He gives us a reminder of the great love of God in action. He gives us what we need when we get an instruction. And that is a reason to obey that instruction. Go and do it. It's never that useful. Go and do it for these reasons. Is a different story. And so, first of all, you'll see on the handout there, we have reasons for thankfulness. And that's what verses 4 through to 32 in the psalm essentially are. The main bulk of the psalm is given over to reasons why God's people, no matter what their circumstances, should be thankful people. The historical context of Psalm 107 is a song of the regathered people of Israel after they have returned from captivity in Babylon. God had sent them into exile, punished them in exile, and in his kindness he has come to them and he has brought them out of Babylon to the promised land. And verses 4 to 32 give us poetic images of God's people's plight when they were in captivity, what it was like to be in exile. Poetic images, remember, it's a song, this is the poet speaking, and he provides us then reminders of God's rescue and deliverance. You'll see there are four reasons that the redeemed are to be thankful. The first is there, verses 4 to 9. We have security and satisfaction. Verse 4, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. In exile, God's people were wandering lost without the security that a city offered and without the sustenance that they needed to live. And many lost their lives during that time in exile. But because of these difficulties, God's people prayed. And God heard their prayer and he brought them out of the desert wilderness to a city that they could settle in, to a place where food and drink might be found and they could once again be secure and satisfied. Now, some of you will know what this is like. You have been in a situation of great distress or great need or both, and you've cried out to God, and he has answered. He has brought you out of that need. He has brought you to a place of security and to a place of satisfaction. He satisfied you with good things. I hope you're thankful for that. But that's not everyone's experience. Few of us here today will be in desperate need. But in a world like ours, a world where people are wandering around, lost and in danger, their lives ebbing away, really, just as they work towards a pension and whatever that might mean, the redeemed, God's people, have a promise of a city and the promise of good things from the Lord. The heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, the destination for eternity for those who know and love Jesus Christ, a place of ultimate security and ultimate satisfaction. And that makes me thankful. As you think about how insecure life in this world is, from our finances to our health, we can't secure those things. We try to, but we can't. Think about the needs and the lack of satisfaction that exists, it seems, everywhere around us. From the poor and the physically needy that we see, to the frustration and dissatisfaction that life in this world brings. From the most mundane things, stubbing your toe on the stairs, getting an ulcer on your tongue so that every time you drink something or eat something, it's just dissatisfying. That's the world we live in. Yet in Jesus Christ, the redeemed, God's people, those who have come to him in faith, have a secure and a fully satisfied future. First, security and satisfaction. First reason to be thankful. Second is there, verses 10 to 16, and that is liberty. Some sat in darkness, verse 10, and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Here's the poet painting this picture of Israel's time in Babylon like the experience of a prisoner in a prison cell, locked up in darkness, gloom, and without any option of getting out. They were there, verse 11, do you see, because of their sin, their rebellion against God's words. They'd ignored the prophets that God had sent. God had sent them his spokesmen, and they ignored them. They went their own way instead of heeding him. And when we go our own way instead of heeding God, it always leads to trouble. But God in his kindness brought them low, and they cried out. And he heard their prayer and answered it. And he brought them out of slavery. He liberated them from their darkness. Like a giant coming and breaking the prison gates made of bronze and twisting back the bars on the window. Some of you may know what it's like to be liberated from a real physical prison. But again, much more significantly is how those who know Jesus Christ have been liberated from the prison cell of sin. This is what Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when he quoted Isaiah in the synagogue. He said that he, Jesus, had come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, those who were enslaved to sin. Sin enslaves us. It's an evil taskmaster that locks us up. We think we're free, but we're enslaved. Our appetites and our desires control us. They hold us captive. But through his atoning death, Jesus liberates us from the shackles of sin. He liberates us. Like the psalmist, verse 11, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we can say that God has brought us out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst our bonds apart. Second reason is liberty. It's a great reason to be thankful. Thirdly, you see there we have healing, verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food and they drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Israel's restoration to the promised land is here likened to the recovery to health from a severe illness. Verse 18, they were near the gates of death. As a nation in exile, Israel were close to extinction. They were dwindling in numbers. And again, we will know of people who have cried out to God in times of severe illness. People that the doctors have said, look, it's not good, get the family back, say your goodbyes. But people have prayed and God has healed them. That might be your situation. Again, I hope you're thankful. But the psalmist has in mind here primarily a spiritual problem. Consequences of sin in the Old Testament are often experienced physically, but the root cause is this spiritual problem. That's what's highlighted there, verse 17, where rebellion against God is highlighted as the cause. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, because of their sin, they suffered affliction. But the agent of their cure is God's word, verse 20. God's word. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. It is only God's word that heals our spiritual sickness and brings life. Remember, we're not just sick spiritually. Ephesians 2 tells us we're dead spiritually. But through the word of God, the Christian has, verse 20, been delivered from destruction. Our God is in the business of this kind of healing. And if you're a Christian, this is true of you because God sent out his word and you heard it and believed. You contributed nothing. Another reminder to be thankful for what God has done. God's word is life-giving. And just to say, we mustn't take that for granted. You know, we need to be reading his word and meditating on it and hearing it preached and memorizing it because it is the source of life. That is the way God has established the relationship between his word and his people. His word is the source of our life. So let's give thanks for our healing and the word through which our healing has come. Third reason to be thankful, healing. Then the fourth, verses 23 to 32, rescue. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Here is the poet describing Israel's deliverance from the storm of captivity that blew over the nation during exile. In the face of God's might, they were as vulnerable as a ship on the highest of seas. They were scared out of their wits. But again, verse 28, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 29, he made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Verse 30, he brought them to their desired haven. When God's people cried out to him once more, he heard their prayer and rescued them from danger. He guided them into the promised land. He brought them into their desired haven. And verse 31, the result? Thankfulness. Now again, God still rescues his people from physical danger, but at this point, Psalm here is pointing us to something far greater, and that is the rescue that we have in Jesus Christ. In him we have been rescued from the one thing that leaves us all vulnerable. We can try and secure our homes, our health, and our future. However, we have no way of securing ourselves against God's anger at our sin. But in Jesus Christ we're safe. We have been rescued and we are safe. While we look forward to the full experience of that rescue and glory one day with him. And the natural response of all of this is thankfulness for all that we have in Christ. What's the worst thing that could happen in any given situation? What's the worst thing that could happen when we leave here today? It's that something awful might happen and we would die. But that's no problem now for the believer in Jesus Christ, because the one thing that makes death terrifying, that is namely standing before God unforgiven, that one thing has been dealt with. The worst that this life can throw at us can't undo our rescue. Four reasons to be thankful. Four reasons then why we can have confidence in the trials of life. Security and satisfaction. Liberty, healing, rescue. You know, can I say, if you're not a Christian and you're here today, it's great to have you along, but can you see why Christianity is good news? You might have heard Christians talking about Christianity as good news. This is why. Because Christianity is not about try really hard and be good. It's about what Christ has done and what he offers us. Security and satisfaction in a world that is insecure and ultimately unsatisfying. Liberty from the sin that controls you. Healing from your spiritual sickness through God's life-giving word. And rescue from the danger that we're in as sinners before a sovereign and a holy God, and therefore from every other danger that we might face in life. This is what I call you to when I call you to repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's good news because he has done it. And it's on offer. Something I don't want us to miss as well here is, throughout this psalm, we're to see it is God who brings the great change of fortune in the lives of Israel, but he does it in response to the prayers of his people. Verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, and verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered, he saved them from their distress. We have a God who holds the whole world in his hands. And he hears us when we cry to him, and he answers. Four reasons to be thankful: security and satisfaction, liberty, healing, and rescue. The second thing I want us to see, top of the reasons for thankfulness, is also the context of thankfulness. And that's what's going on in verses 33 to the end of the psalm. The psalmist's tone changes in these closing verses. What we have is a move from specific instances to a more general point. Yes, do you see verse 34? God opposes the wicked. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. Yes, he opposes the wicked. Yes, he cares for and provides for the needy. Do you see verse 41? But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. He does both of those things. What the psalmist is doing is he alternates blessings and hardships here. The thing that we're supposed to see is that in every instance of life, the ups as well as the downs, the calamity as well as the prosperity in the lives of people and nations, all of those things are under the sovereign hand of Almighty God. He's the one who's in control. He is just as sovereign over a dry spring as he is a flourishing field. He is just as sovereign over our pain as he is our pleasure. And it's that context in which we are to be people of thankfulness. Sometimes we can't understand why God acts as he does in our world, but we do recognize that behind every event, even terrible situations, whilst in no way responsible for the sin involved, God is in control. And this is important. For some of us, you see, life circumstances mean giving thanks to God is a struggle. It's something we don't instinctively feel like doing. Well, don't miss this. He hears and he answers our prayers. And in Jesus Christ, no matter what the reality of your day to day, security and satisfaction, liberty, healing, and rescue are yours. Which means we can be thankful people even when life hurts, especially when life hurts. As long as we live in a broken world, the context for our thankfulness will be one that is marked by hardship as well as blessing. We live in a world where God is sovereignly working all things together for the good of his people and the glory of his name. In verse 42, the upright see this and are glad. And verse 43, the wise attend to these things, they heed these things, and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Our sovereign, our God, our King is worthy of our song of thanks. I'm going to finish there. I'll pray, and then do we have time for questions? Over to you for questions. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you. We do want to be thankful people for all that we possess in Jesus Christ. Thank you for security and satisfaction, liberty, healing, rescue. And help us to see that in a world that is currently still marred by pain as well as pleasure, that we can be thankful because of all that we have in Christ. Please write that truth on our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.